Hello? Hello? Can you hear me now? What about now? Cool. Man, I love that song. Isn't it amazing? The song is just so incredible. Man, you know what's really awesome is the divine romance that God gives us. Am I right? I mean, there's no greater love. There's no greater joy. There's no greater thing worth living for. Have you guys ever had a really intimate moment with God? I mean, just amazing time with God where it's just you and God and nothing else. I mean, honestly, ask yourself that. And if not, why not? It's so incredible to get that quiet time, to get that alone time when it's just you, God, not your cell phone, not the TV, not even yourself. Maybe go to a park and just hang out. Maybe go for a walk, you know, just you and God. And oh man, I love those times of intimacy with God. It's so incredible. And honestly, that song, it just hits it on the money. It's what a divine romance. Well, the other night I had one of those experiences. It was incredible. You guys might remember Isaac Lopez, right? Well, me and him, on Tuesday, we met up. We went to this concert, this really amazing Christian hip-hop concert. Thinking Christian hip-hop, what? Yeah, Christian hip-hop concert. How many of you guys like hip-hop or rap? A couple of you guys. Nice. Well, we checked out this guy, Othello. Phenomenal dude. Just blows me away. He's got like a jazz, bluegrass, classic, modern type of style. It's really awesome. He has a style that reminded me of this group I used to listen to back in the day. But it's really awesome. He put on a really good show, and here's there with this guy, Sherlock Holmes from LA Symphony. And the show was amazing. Isaac actually took a few of his youth group kids and a few leaders. And these kids were just, it was just incredible. These kids were breakdancing in an aisle not much bigger than what's right here in the center. And it's stinking awesome. It was a good show. It was a good time, good fellowship. But what happened after the show was even better. Now, the concert was at Calvary Chapel East, which is on Tramway and Indian School, right? So it's right on the foothills of the Sandia Mountains. And driving home, it's about 9:30. I'm just looking at the mountains. I'm just like, man, I haven't gone for a walk in the mountains in a long time. I used to do it all the time, but I haven't been in a few years. So I went to one of my favorite spots, and kind of saddened me that there's a bunch of new houses that pretty much took this area up. But it was still chill. You know, went for an early night, late night stroll, whatever you want to call it. I mean, 9:30, 10 o'clock-ish in the mountains where there's no lights. It was really cool. So I start walking, and I run into this service road. I'm like, oh, cool, here's a trail, here's a road, you know, we'll just see where it just happens to take me. Hey, guys, are you going to keep looking at that dragonfly all day? Or are you going to here for a Bible teaching? Seriously. Now, what was I saying? Okay, so I started walking down this road, and picture the mountains, nighttime, kind of cloudy, you really can't see that well, right? I almost run into this fence. This fence, like, if I wouldn't have just, I don't know how I saw it, but I saw it. And if I wouldn't have saw it in time, I would have ran right into it and then, like, get wrapped up in it and then, like, in the cartoons, how, like, they fly backwards. That probably would have been me. But I saw it, and it went into the National Forest. You know, there's a bunch of trails and so forth. And so I crossed it. And shortly after I crossed it, the trail merged with another trail. One went left and one went right. The one that went left It looked really easy, you know. It just went straight up. It didn't look like it had any thrills, adventures, like, I don't know, the size of a road, a single lane road. It was pretty huge. And it just didn't catch my eye. I didn't want to go on it. The one to the right, however, was a lot smaller. It went down this arroyo, went into like some trees and two shrubs. I was like, I'll take that one. That one looks more fun. So I started walking down it. And there's cactus hanging out in the trail. The trail's about this wide. There's branches and shrubs and trees and rocks and all this stuff, right? So it was a little bit challenging, not too difficult. And I was like, this is awesome, man. Just enjoying the city lights, the beauty, just enjoying God and all his beauty and his splendor just by myself. Oh, man, what an amazing, intimate night. And I get to this huge rock, before I get to the huge rock, I was kind of saddened along my trail. There was this other service road that I had to cross to continue on my path. And it really stunk because I got to it and I was like, man, this is whack. This trail's big, it's boring, there's no adventure, and I can see everything that's in the road. This is pretty whack. So I walked up it, continued on my trail, and went into shrubs and so forth. But I got on this rock, right, just enjoying God and having an amazing, intimate moment with him. And so I had my time with God, and I was walking back, and I started thinking on what would have happened if I'd have took that bigger trail. I mean, honestly, like, would I have enjoyed God as much if I took that bigger, wider trail than I did with the little trail? And I was thinking about it. I was like, how awesome is it when we have those difficulties and we don't know exactly what to expect in our path, in our trail of life? And I was enjoying the little trail so much. And then I get back to the big trail when I'm headed back to my car. I was like, man, do I really have to walk on this path? Like, I don't like this trail. I like a challenge. I don't like to be boring and dull and where everybody's been. I like to be where nobody, if not very much, if not anybody has been. I've always been that way since I was a little kid. I mean, my dad would take me hunting. I'd go way over here running around. My dad would be over here shooting a deer. But, yeah, even when we go to the lake, I mean, I just always like to go where not too many people have gone. So that brings me to my passage today, and I was thinking about this. When I was driving home, I'm just looking at that, and the small trail, the difficult trail, the, you know, not knowing what to expect trail, and the big, wide trail, which we pretty much know what to expect. And I started thinking, the big trail is like what it talks about, what Jesus talks about on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. As a matter of fact, that's where we're going to be today. So turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to Matthew 7. If you don't have one, share it with your neighbor. But let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, this day. And we just thank you, Father, for who you are. How we could have an amazing, intimate relationship with you. How we could gather together freely, proclaim your name and study your word and carry a Bible and worship you and honor you and glorify you, Lord. Lord God, be here and fill this room, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Let us hear from you today. In your name, amen. So I said in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking on the, giving his sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes. As a matter of fact, you see this picture, this nice palm tree? Guess what? That's from the Mount of Beatitudes. It's where I was last year, and it's an incredible, beautiful place. That's the Sea of Galilee right behind it, and we're actually walking down the hill right now, and we're going back to the bus and so forth. An amazing time. I didn't load up the other picture, but right behind me is a tree where they got the crown of thorns. Man, it was an amazing, intimate time with God on the Mount of Beatitudes. So amazing. But I want you guys to notice something in chapter 7. We're going to look at two verses in chapter 7 real quick. Then we're also going to be jumping around. So if you got a pen, write down the cross references, the other verses, the other passages, whatever you want to call them. Or try to keep up. But we're going to be in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Doesn't that sound like the story I was just telling you about with my intimate night with God on Tuesday? Jesus here is talking about salvation, right? The wide gate, the broad gate, the easy way, easy street, some people may call it. It's the way of the world. I don't need this, the ways of the world. We all are aware of the ways of the world. And billions of people go in by that gate, go that way. And, you know, what's really interesting is, I had a lady the other day tell me, well, we're all on our own paths. Yeah, but where's your path going to lead you? And I've heard people say in my life, I've heard, well, all roads lead to heaven. They lead to heaven until you get judged and then you go to hell. But what path, what gate are you entering right now? Are you entering the broad gate, which is the easy street, which is ways of the world? Or are you entering the narrow gate, difficult, suffering, pain, trials, tribulations, which leads to eternal life, as mentioned in verse 14, and it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So what gate are you entering right now? I honestly, from the depths of my heart, I hope each and every single one of you are entering the narrow gate. Now, I know that may not be true for all of you guys. Some of you guys may not be a Christian, or think that you're a Christian because your parents are a Christian, and your grandparents and your aunties and your uncles are Christian. Well, that doesn't make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God is confessing His name, repenting, living for Him, and laying down your life and picking up the cross. You know, just, never once in the Bible does it say that God has grandchildren. He only has children. So are you a child of God today? Well, if so, verse 14 says that difficult is the way which leads to life. So I want to ask you guys this. How difficult is it being a Christian? For you personally. In America, we got it pretty easy. We got the freedom of religion, freedom to gather. We got a lot of freedoms here. You can carry our Bible without getting worried about getting shot and killed. Like in Korea, you own a Bible, you're dead. We could gather together freely and knowing that police officers aren't going to come in here and kill us or arrest us. Isn't that amazing? It's a blessing, but at the same time, it's a curse. It's a curse in the sense that we don't suffer enough as we should as Christians. Now, I've never heard it said that being a Christian is an easy thing. Have you guys? As a matter of fact, before I became a Christian, I faced some trials and tribulations when I was a worldly person. A little bit of suffering here and there. Thought my life was good. But now that I'm a Christian, only not even 3 years old in Christ, which I'm now 24, by the way, and I've suffered in worse ways as a Christian. I've had greater difficulties and trials when I'm as a Christian than I was when I was worldly. But you know the amazing thing is that even though I'm a Christian, I'm facing these trials and these tribulations and these sufferings and persecutions and so forth, I've been the most happy I've ever been. So I want to ask you guys a question. And I really want you to take this. And I want you guys to chew it up. cut it up. I want you guys to just sit on it and marinate like a steak, okay? It's a two-part question. First part, are you guys, as Christians, as a child of God, willing and ready to die for Christ? Okay? Here's the second part. A lot of us could answer yes to that, right? Yeah, I'll die for Christ. No problem. He died for me. But this is the least I could do is die for Christ. Here's the second part of the question. It's a little bit harder. Could you honestly live for Christ? 100% live every area of your aspect for Christ. Not worried about what people think. Not worried about what you're going to do, how you're going to get money, how this is going to occur. Not worried about it, but having your complete trust in Jesus. We look at the disciples, how they left their livelihoods, how they left their friends, their family, their servants, when Jesus said, come, follow me. Are you guys willing to give it all up for Christ? I mean, honestly. If God said, hey, I want you to go to this country. I want you to go to Papua New Guinea. You're like, Papua New what? Is that even a country? Is that even a city? Is that a village? What is that? It's like, dude, you're going to Papua New Guinea. You're like, there's no way, God, that I'm leaving my friends, my family, and all my material possessions to follow you in Papua New Guinea. I don't even know where that place is at. Are you guys so wrapped up in your material possessions and your friends and your family that Christ is pushed to the sideline? Well, think about it. I mean, honestly, the disciples had to leave everything they had, not knowing where they're going to sleep. Jesus not even knowing where he's going to sleep. They literally gave up all that they had to follow after Christ. Are you guys going to do that? You guys are like, dude, I'm only 12, 13. Yeah, when you turn 18. You really can't abandon your parents right now. I mean, that wouldn't be too good. You'd have a nationwide manhunt after you. But when you guys get older, if God calls you to another country, are you willing to go? Especially where they hate the Bible, where they hate God. Are you guys willing to go? And it's in those circumstances, whether good or bad, no matter where we're at in our life, especially as a Christian, that we need to trust in God. But it's in those difficulties and those hardships and those trials that we need to trust in Him even more and be more grounded in the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. It's a few pages to the right. And you guys pay attention to these verses. Listen to this. And really grasp how amazing this is. Immediately, in verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's a lot of verses to take in, I know. Hey, Eric, go to the first slide. Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 people, okay? This is right around the area, maybe right where my back is, where it might have happened, where Jesus fed the 5,000. It's just right around this area. It's the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's now, Jesus sends the multitude away, the 5,000 people. He sends his disciples to get in the boat. And they start rowing, and the wind was going crazy. Now, it was already nighttime. I mean, it was the fourth night, or it was the fourth watch of the night. Hey, go to that last one, Eric, which is about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, which looks something like this on the Sea of Galilee. But did you notice that when they saw Jesus walking on the water, how amazing that must have been. They had a little faith. And even when Jesus talked to him and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid," Peter still doubted. He's like, "Hey, if it's you, tell me to go on the water. I mean, hey, if it's you, you have the power to make me walk on the water, right?" He's like, "Well, come." What must have been going through Peter's mind when Jesus said, "Come, walk on the water with me"? The way I picture it is Peter just jumping out of the boat and start walking on the water. Maybe he's sea walking. I don't know. Get it? But notice, when his path became more difficult, he lost focus, right? Because he was afraid because the wind was mysterious and he began to sink. He then cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." So let me ask you guys this. When you guys are walking in your walk with Christ and times are getting difficult, is your focus on Christ? Is your focus in the Word? Is your lifestyle reflecting worship and reflecting God? You know, it's pretty scary to take leaps of faith. You might remember Coy Tremel, who taught back here about a month or two ago. He took a leap of faith, and now he's in Montana. You guys might remember Kevin Guido. He's taught here a few times a while back. Some of you guys might not know him. He took a leap of faith at the beginning of the year, moved to Montana, where he's now a proud daddy, and Brandon is now a proud uncle. Congratulations again. First-time uncle. But you know what's interesting is when you take that leap of faith, like Peter took here, like, okay, if that's you, you'll really want me to come, so you'll tell me to come. You'll provide what I need to get out there, right? So Peter takes this leap of faith. He gets on the water. I'm sure he's doing one of these, like, am I going to sink? Is this really Jesus? Am I, you know? And he starts walking. And it gets difficult. And he loses focus on Christ. And that's why I love Peter, because Peter just relates, I don't know how well to you, but he relates well to me. I mean, there are times in my life when trials happen and I lose focus. He has his ups and he has his downs, and we all do. No one said that being a Christian is going to be easy. But it took some amount of faith for him to step out on that water, right? So if God asks you to take a leap of faith, what are you going to do? Are you going to cry and moan and because you really don't want to do it? Some of you may. Some of you may not. You guys might be excited to. Leaps of faith are an amazing time to grow. But my main point is are you going to focus on God in the midst of your trials? Turn with me to Acts chapter 6. That's my mistake. Okay, so let me set the scenario. Jesus just ascended into heaven. The disciples are gathering together in an upper room. They're spending hours in prayer together. Peter does this amazing sermon where at the end of his sermon, 3,000 people are saved, okay? But not only that, the church continually grows daily. Numerous people added to the church daily. Now at this point, the disciples are just multiplying like crazy. And 7 are chosen to serve. One of them is Stephen. Have you guys heard of Stephen the martyr? Nice. 1, 2, 3, a few people. Okay, cool. As you know, or may not know, Stephen was the first martyr for Christ. You read his account from chapter 6, verse 8, all the way through 7, verse 60. Notice with me in verse 8 of chapter 6, it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen Syrians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. Okay, so what just happening now is they're accusing Stephen of being blasphemous, right? Stephen then goes into this address, a sermon, if you will, may. And he's just talking about all the Old Testament stuff. And these people were so convicted at Stephen's message. Listen to what it says in chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amazing. Here we got the first Christian martyr. His message was so convicting that these people were gnashing their teeth. They're just grinding, you know, like a dog. Just growling. And then they rush him. Here you got this mob of people rushing him, casting him out of the city and stoning him. Picking up rocks and throwing at him until the point of death. But did you notice in those 6-7 verses, he didn't lose his focus on God. This guy's getting pummeled with rocks. I don't know if you guys ever had rocks thrown at you, but it's not fun. I've had my few share. My brothers used to throw rocks at me. I'm not going to lie. But notice in verse 55 it says, But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. In verse 59 it says, And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So here's Stephen having this amazing trial in his life. And his focus is on God. So are you going to trust in God in spite of the circumstances in your life? Whether the circumstances are really amazing or really difficult. Are you going to be walking on that narrow path, which is difficult, but it leads to eternal life? Or are you going to be walking down the broad path, which is easy street? The choice is yours, guys. But you know what? Honestly, I've had more fun. I've done much more greater things now that I'm a Christian than I've ever done in my life. If you're not a Christian in here today, dude, you guys need to make the choice. And honestly, to say, Stephen wasn't full of the Holy Spirit, If he didn't believe in God, he'd be dead. He'd be in hell. Do you believe in God? Have you put your trust in him? If not, broad is the way to destruction. You guys have a chance today to turn from your lifestyle, accept Christ, and start living for him. He lived for you. He died for you. He took all your pain and your suffering and your sins and wrongdoings upon on that cross so that you have eternal life. What? How amazing is that? We're undeserving of life as it is, and we're definitely deserving of hell. But Jesus took our sins and shame and nailed them to the cross so that we have an eternal life? Oh, man. And I'm going to challenge you guys this week. Those of you guys who are Christians in here, I'm going to give you guys a challenge. I want you to think about this as well. If only a few disciples could turn 3,000 people into Christians, how much more could this, 900 plus people, group of kids, including leaders, how much more people could come to know Christ if each one of us was just to be bold and to proclaim God and his glory and his love for us and what he's done upon that cross. I mean, honestly, think about it. What an impact we would have on the city. You know, we got Free Burger Thursdays coming up. Amazing opportunity to outreach to a lot of people. Actually, the first and the third Thursdays are going to be at a park right up the street from my house. Literally, go up a street and it's diagonally from my house across another street. But there's a lot of lost people over there, guys. Don't be scared that you're not too knowledgeable about the Bible. God will give you the right words to say at the right time. Don't be scared. Be bold and be courageous to stand up for your belief, not to deny Christ. You know, Jesus commands us, at the end of Matthew, to go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys feeling that great commission? Like, dude, I'm 10 years old. Not too young to be used by Christ. And greatest thing you could do for Christ is be available. So this week's challenge I want to give you guys is to be completely consumed with God in everything that you do, everything that you look at, everything you watch, everything you listen to. Is it glorifying? And is it God-centered? Video games are fun. TV's fun. Dude, you don't know that show, though. That show is amazing. Yeah, but is it bringing God glory? You know, it's interesting. I'm going to close with this real quick. One of my favorite pastors, Francis Chan, he was teaching a sermon, and it's him and his wife and either his mother-in-law or his mom. We're at this play, and they're loving this play. This play was amazing, he said. And he looks over, and his mom or his mother-in-law, I can't remember, was just so sad. He's like, why are you sad? What's wrong? She's like, I'd rather be looking for God in his return and glorifying him than sitting in this play. And when I heard that, ooh, was I convicted. I mean, honestly, are we constantly looking out for God and his return? Are you looking out to become raptured and to bring him glory? You know, it's one of my prayers that I so desire, and I can't wait to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you guys going to hear those words? If not, it's time to get right with God. Today's the day, guys. So are you guys willing to take that challenge to be completely focused on God this week? 100% with your mind, with your heart, with your thoughts, with your actions, with everything? I'm challenging you guys. So it's between you and God if you take the challenge or not. go ahead and close in prayer. Father God, we just come before you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're here with us today. You're with us in the good times and in the bads. And you're there just to help us whenever we need help and to lead us in our life, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your guidance and your direction. Lord, we ask that your will would be done for us in your life, Lord. Lord, let us just be completely focused upon you this week, God. Let us just be completely consumed with you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with righteousness. Fill us with the person that you want us to be, Lord. Lord, and use us in mighty ways this week so that we as light in the darkness shine so bright that people would just know that there's something different about us, that they would be curious. That people, God, when they see us this week, that they would see you and be curious about that. Lord, and give us opportunity this week, Lord, to proclaim your name and to give us boldness and to be courageous and to stand up for you. Use us in mighty ways this week, Lord. Guide us and direct us. If there's anyone in here today who doesn't know Christ, make the decision today. Is there anyone in here today who has not accepted Christ and is on that broad path heading for hell and destruction? Who wants to go on the narrow and straight path heading for eternal life? If so, stand up. Raise a hand. Is there anyone in here? No, you don't have to raise your hand, but God knows your heart. And there's nothing too hard you have to do to come to know Christ. All you have to say is, Lord, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I turn from my ways and I turn to you. Consume me. I want to live for you, God. I'll lay my life at your cross and I give it up to you. Take me and mold me. Have your way with me. And then be so in love with you, God. Amen. You guys have an amazing day.